بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وهل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون. وفي الحديث الذي رواه البخاري ومسلم وأبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فبعث إلى نسائه فقلنا ما عندنا إلا الماء، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يضم أو يضيف هذا؟ فقال رجل من الأنصار: أنا. فانطلق به إلى امرأته فقال: أكرمي ضيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقالت: ما عندنا إلا قوت الصبيان. فقال: هيئ طعامك. فأصلحت سراجها ونومت صبيانها، ثم قامت كأنها تصلح سراجها فأطفأته، وجعل يريانه أنهما يأكلان، وباتا طاويين. فلما أصبح غدا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: لقد عجب الله من صنيعكما بضيفكم الليلة، وأنزل الله تعالى: ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected friends, elders and brothers, students, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has obligated certain responsibilities and rights for each other, upon each other. All of us as members of society have certain rights upon each other. If a person does not fulfill this right, then not only is he oppressing that individual, that member in society, but along with that, he has earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are two double mistakes. He has oppressed someone by not fulfilling their right, and he has taken away, and he has broken an obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed upon his shoulders. From amongst those obligations that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained, حق المسلم على المسلم, from amongst those rights is ijabatu da'wah. That when a person invites us to his home, invites us to a meal, then it is his right upon us that we should accept that invitation. And then the right that the guest has upon the host, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. Whosoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the hereafter, he should honor his guest. This is a sign of belief that when a guest comes to our house, that we honor them. And a sign of the weakness of faith that a person shies away from honoring his guest or does something to make the guest's life difficult. So we see in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lives of the Sahaba, and the Qur'an to the extent goes and mentions the story of the prophets of the past. The story of hosting guests and inviting them to one's home. The ayah which I recited upon you was an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Did the news of the respected guest of Prophet Ibrahim reach you? When the respected guest, the honorable guest, came to Prophet Ibrahim's home, إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ, when they entered his home, فَقَالُوا, those guests said, سَلَامَ, they greeted him. قَال, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam responded by saying, سَلَام, peace upon you as well. قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ, but this group of guests that he received in his home, he was unaware of their identity. They had come to his house, so he received them. He did not send them off, but instead he said, a guest is a guest, whether I recognize, whether I know or not, we must receive them. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. He quickly ran to his wife, to his home, to his family, and he presented a full animal, a roasted animal that was full of meat and flesh and fat, presented it to these guests. This is something the most expensive way and the best way a person would honor a guest, would he would go slaughter a goat from the backyard, roast it, and present it. The whole thing. You choose what piece of meat you want and how much you want to eat. It's all yours. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. And then he didn't just bring it to the room, he brought it close to them and presented it right in front of them. So they would have easy access to it, they wouldn't have to walk to the other end, they wouldn't have to feel shy. It was right in front of them. However, they did not extend their hands. They kept quiet, they kept to themselves. فَقَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. He said, are you not going to eat? Are you not going to partake of this meal? فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. He began to sense some fear. He began to feel fear within himself that these people are either afraid of me, that they don't want to eat from this food, that may be poisonous, it may be harmful, or there's something wrong that I should be worried about these people. Why have they come to my house and it seems like they've come for some other business? He didn't ask them, why have you come to my house? Did you have an appointed meeting from before? Did you call me before? I don't remember. Is it simply you've come for some work? Without asking any questions, when a guest arrives at the home, we'll talk whatever we have to talk afterwards. First, let me do my business. My business is you've come to my home, let me present whatever I have at home. The best that I have at home. We're not going to order go out of our way, but whatever we have at home, prepare it in the best manner and present it in the best manner and give it to our guest. Once we finish eating, as much as Allah has willed for us to eat, He may have just eaten before He came, He may just partake a little bit of that, then we can sit down and talk about business. So He didn't ask. Hence He presented it to them in a way that they would not feel that they're burdening the guest. He went quickly, he ran home, went inside, brought it, presented right in front. So when they realized that Ibrahim alayhi salam is not expecting us to simply sit back and watch at the food, but he's expecting us to eat. And he's going to get upset if we don't eat. He's going to worry, why are we not eating? قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. They told him, oh Ibrahim, don't worry. We haven't come with any evil intentions. We haven't come here to loot or to attack, because you would think looters and attackers won't obviously partake of a meal. They've come here for a business, their own business, right? So he said, we haven't come with that intention. وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. He said, we've come here to this, we are angels. We have been angels sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the glad tidings of a righteous, pious, knowledgeable, forbearing child. Intelligent child. Subhanallah. The wife is thinking that a normal guest has come to the house. But now when she hears this, فَأَقْبَلَتْ إِمْرَأَتُهُ فِي صَرَّةٍ فَصَكَّتْ وَجْهَهَا وَقَالَتْ عَجُوزٌ عَقِيمٌ. She's in shock, in denial. She slaps her face in shock. Says, what is this? Ajuz and aqim, an old man. My husband is old, in his 90s maybe. And the wife, I'm barren. How are we possibly getting a child? Where is this coming from? قَالُوا كَذَلِكَ. They said, we are simply coming here to inform you. كَذَلِكَ. Allah had willed this manner, so this is what you are going to get. Allah is the one who is all powerful, all knowledgeable. He has sent us to inform you that although you do not have the apparent means of getting a child, but Allah has decided a child for you. This was this blessing. Look, they went out of their way to present a meal to their guest without asking questions. They did their best to receive their guest. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them in lieu of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them way beyond their expectations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them at that old age a child which they had been dying for. People who have been married for a few years, if they don't have children, how worried they get, how anxious they get. Imagine a person who's in his 90s, who the wife is completely barren, doesn't have children, completely at an unexpected moment. Someone comes and says, you don't have to go to this clinic, that clinic. The decision has been made. Just watch. They're going to have a child. When did they receive this? When they honored those guests who had come. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. When a person does small things for the deen and to fulfill Allah's rights and the rights of those around him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him. Most definitely, this decision was made before the heavens and the earth's creation. We have no doubt about that. But look at what took place. When was this decision? When were they informed of this decision? What activities, what actions did they do right before this decision was given to them, they were informed of that? These are the small blessings and the great blessings that a person enjoys when he revives this beautiful sunnah of the prophets, the messengers of the past, and our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the sunnah of diyafa, the sunnah of inviting people over, the sunnah of feeding people, the sunnah of hosting people. This is part of our deen, part and parcel of our deen. And it is through this type of sunnah that mahabba and love is created, muakhat, brotherhood and unity is created within members of the community. When we do not know each other simply from the parking lot, or simply from once a week Jum'ah Salah, but we know each other at a much more intimate level, where we know each other from at a personal level, when we know each other's families, when we know where we live. How many of us know where we live? To the extent Allah forgive me and Allah forgive us, this is regarded as none of your business. Why in the world would you even imagine coming down my street? So why would you need to know where I live? What does my house have to do with your house? Where do you belong in my home? We've heard statements like that. That why would we need to know the addresses and where we live each other? I live separately, you live separately. It's enough, we meet once in a year in Eid Salah here, it's good enough. To that extent, the sunnah has been forgotten in the ummah, that there's no expectations. Nay, I may say, if someone asks, it's regarded as weird. As you know, business is business, and like this is business, and that is family and private issues. For the Muslim, it's not like that. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Khalifa al-Muslimin, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is leading Salah. We've heard this many a times. And he looks in his sufuf and he sees you look at how his eyesight, look at how his intelligence, look at how he is simultaneously running the affairs of the whole one-third populated world, which is being ruled by him. And at the same time, he's so keen. And he knows the ins and outs of every person praying Salah behind him. So he sees that one young man is missing. Not one of the elders, the ministers, those kibarul sahaba, the great companions who would always be on his right and his left would be sharing advice with him when needed. But just one young man, who probably many of the people in the masjid didn't notice his absence. But Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he's living in the moment. He's living then and there. And he's looking around and he sees this man is not here. And he wonders, why is he not here? He doesn't send someone, he doesn't send a text message or call. He himself, after taking care of the affairs in the masjid, walks to that man's home. He knows where that man lives. He knows where everyone lives. At their homes. This is all part of his business. This is all part of his responsibility. And he goes and knocks on that door in the early hours of the morning. And the mother opens the door and he asks, is your son okay? Is he alright? Where is he? We haven't seen him in the morning. Because it was impossible for a Muslim at that time not to show up for Fajr or Isha. Even the hypocrites would show up, as is mentioned in hadith. Otherwise they'd lose their cover. If they didn't come for Fajr and Isha, everyone would know that this guy is not a Muslim, he's a hypocrite. So when a good Muslim isn't showing up for Fajr, there must be some genuine reason. Some grave sickness, some grave problem has fallen upon him. So he visits the house, the mother says, son is at home. Well, why didn't he show up in the morning? And the mother responds that he spent the whole night praying optional prayers. And in the morning he was very tired, so he prayed on his own and he went to sleep. We wish that would be our situation and the situation of the youth. But he said, no. I would rather he spend the whole night sleeping and not attending to tahajjud and qiyam and standing up for optional prayers, but that he shows up for Fajr Salah with Jama'ah in the masjid. If he spends the whole night sleeping, it is more rewarding and better as long as he shows up for Fajr instead of spending the whole night in optional prayers and missing the morning congregational Salah. So the point here was that Umar radiallahu anhu knew exactly what was going on. And he was connected with each individual in the community. And this was not just because I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen, because I am the leader of the believers, I have to know what's going on. Nay, it was rather a culture within the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, that every home was our home. A person would be able to go over anywhere at the time of need. And the host, or the one you're asking for something from, instead of feeling burdened that why have you come to my home or why have you come to ask me, he would actually feel guilty that why do I not already know of your situation and your dire need. It's a shame that you had to walk to my house. It's a shame that you had to come knocking at my door. It was my responsibility to know what is going on in the homes of my neighbors and my fellow citizens, and that I should have reached out to them and be a means of alleviating their problems instead of having forcing him to basically take on shame and have to do something which will possibly, you know, affect his self-esteem and come to my house and extend his hand. That's what they thought. That it is our responsibility to ask others before they come to us. If anyone asks us, we failed already. Now the least we can do is give what he's asking for. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many ahadith, mentioned those virtues. That a person who believes in Allah and his Rasul, he will honor his guest when he comes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned that what type of guest should a person be inviting? Many a times a person has get-togethers. Friday nights, Saturday nights, there are people who are booked 7-8 months in advance. Their homes are booked and their own schedules are booked. But the issue is, who are those people who are attending those gatherings? And who are the people that we're inviting over? Many a times it's a very select group of people who share the same socioeconomic status, who share the same jobs, who share the same level of wealth and prestige in the community. And so they invite each other by rotation. Every week it's at someone's home. That same group of people. Well, that's good. But that is not the purpose of dhiyafa. Dhiyafa is, out of many things, a person is building relationships with others. People who we don't necessarily meet. People whose paths we don't cross. People who don't share the same wealth that we do. People who have different jobs. And people from different cultural backgrounds, different ethnicities. This is that chance to bridge those gaps and to build a strong community when we invite them over and their families. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one hadith, شَرُّ الطَّعَامِ طَعَامُ الْوَلِيمَةِ. We know walima is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know walima is something that we look forward to. It's beautiful. The food that is served after the marriage. But the Prophet ﷺ said there are certain types of walima which are the worst types of food, the worst types of get-togethers, the worst types of dinners and banquets is certain walimas. And which are those? يُدْعَى لَهَا الْأَغْنِيَاءُ وَيُتْرَكُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. Those walima in which the wealthy are invited and the poor are left behind. That is the worst type of walima which you should have nothing to do with. Nor should you be a part of hosting such a walima, nor should you be a part of attending that. How walimas have been now become like a coveted thing. Did you get invited there? Did you see that card? Did you attend that place? How was the groom dressed? How was the bride dressed? And subhanAllah, look at the flowers. So what happens? Now we realize that this has become tafakhur. That dhiyafa, that feeding, the sense of that has become show, ostentation, competition, and how much we can flaunt our wealth. And it's an exposition of our wealth. When in essence, it's supposed to be a moment where we share which Allah has given us, revive the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, fulfill the rights of those who are around us, take care of the needs of the needy, and build mahabbah for each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah is such that the lengthy hadith which I read at the beginning of the khutbah, related by Muslim and Tirmidhi, Bukhari, famous hadith you've heard before, where a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking for food. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, he went to sent a message to his wives. There's a man here has come. We need to honor him. There was no such thing. There is this restaurant down North Avenue. The hotel is there. There was no concept of that. This is Tayyib. The man has come here. Who's going to host him? It's upon us. We don't look for outside. We look the solution within us. Who is going to take this? Not wizard or like a burden. But who's going to take this gift to their home? Who is going to gift their wife and their children a gift of a guest? So Rasulullah ﷺ asked around. The wives all gave one answer. لَيْمَا عِنْدَنَا إِلَّا الْمَاء. We have nothing other than water in our home. SubhanAllah. We have nothing other than water at home. That you can even get in the masjid. What can we do? So the Prophet ﷺ said, who is going to take this guest home? And one of the Ansari Sahaba, the host in Medina, said, I will. And he went to his wife and said that the Prophet ﷺ's guest has come. Please honor him. She said, we have nothing except for a little bit of food that we have left for tonight for the children. He says, that's fine. I don't mind. We're going to give preference to the guest over our own children. Because this is a guest of Allah who's come to our house. We have to give preference. My friends, I mean, it's difficult for you and I to even comprehend. I'm saying these words, reality of which is not in our lives. Alhamdulillah, we have so much. We have enough stocked up cans and packets of soup and all sorts of stuff for the next year and a half probably. For you know, many, many people. But she says that all we have is a little bit of morsels of food for the children. He says, no problem. We have to honor the guest before we take care of our children. Put them to sleep. Whatever you have put in a plate, and we sit together, we're going to act like we're eating. So they sit together, the companions of the Prophet. They were not graduates of a master's in ethics and morals. They didn't have any of those degrees. They implemented way more than what is taught today. They implemented it because they were graduates of the madrasa and the school of a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew what it meant to be true human beings, true brothers to each other. So they sit together eating and they have a land trade. And this is the planning, the plotting that they do together. That how can we ensure that our guest should not feel that, oh, I've come to the wrong home. They barely had anything. Because the guests were so conscious as well. If they were to realize, they would immediately walk away. We can't allow him to realize that we have nothing at home. So they put the candle there or the lantern there. And as soon as they begin to eat, she goes to, or he goes to go straighten up. Acts as if though he straightened up the candle and the light, lantern, and tips it over. After which it becomes extinguished, and now they're eating in darkness. And they put their hands in the plate and simply rotate it as if they're eating. The guest hears them, talks to them, can feel their hands in the platter, as the Arabs would eat in a qasa, in a large plate. 5, 6 would eat together. And eventually he goes, he eats to his full and he leaves. SubhanAllah, the whole family goes to sleep completely hungry. But this was done, not for show, this was done in the darkness of the night. No one knows about this deed. But my friends, we don't need to tell anything to anyone. If Allah accepts the deed, then you can be doing it in the darkness of your room, in the darkness of the night, and Allah will let the whole world know. Today, over 1430 years later, we're hearing about this story. How did that happen? The Sahabi comes to the masjid the next morning, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he greets him, and he says, Allah loved what you did last night with your guest. All the way, Allah in the heavens and the earth, Allah has announced it. He loved what you did, and Allah has revealed an ayah in the Quran that you must, every Muslim must read this ayah, must believe in it, otherwise he can't be a Muslim. The ayah of Surah Al-Dahr, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They give preference to others over themselves, even if poverty becomes their lot. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Surah Hashr. And the one who gets protected from the greed of himself. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ. The one who gets protected from the greed that is within all of us, indeed those are the successful ones. Meaning, this is greed that does not allow us to open up our doors to guests. That makes us shy away. Massive, beautiful kitchens with granite countertops, with the latest technology. You can make bread in there, you can make ice in there, you can make a pizza in there. But no one uses it because you don't want to dirty the kitchen. So now why have we built this kitchen? Simply show and tell. People can come say, mashallah, very nice kitchen. And the food is being catered from outside. And it's there. Or there's no food at all being catered at all. SubhanAllah, my respected friends, we at this masjid here, in this community, we need to create an environment where we greet each other. As we're leaving, say salam to each other. I'm encouraging myself and all of you. When you leave, make this intention that you will say salam to someone you don't know. And you'll introduce yourself, even if it means 30 seconds while wearing your shoes. Every Friday you'll be meeting him, you'll be learning about each other more and more. And another few months, your families will get to know each other. You'll be able to invite each other. We're not saying feast, we're saying simple things. Wallahi, even inshallah, in another khutbah we'll talk about the etiquettes of that. But even if it's a very, very simple thing, the thing is the thought that counts. It's the gesture that counts, not the menu. Otherwise, again, the issue is about sincerity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring this quality of diafa, of inviting guests and hosting guests within our own communities, inshallah ta'ala, and that He makes us a means of us fulfilling each other's rights, of increasing our love for each other, of making us a community that looks out for each other's good. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.